Welcome to Our Pops Cast.
The 30 minutes of your day you didn't realize you needed. We are Pops and Pops.
I'm Miguel.
And I'm Jose.
And we invite you to grab a cocktail,
turn up the volume,
and shoot the shit with us.
Life is always better with Pops and Pops, so make sure to follow us on Instagram at Our Pops Cast.
And subscribe to Our Pops Cast wherever you listen to podcasts. And now,
let's go! We're back!
Hey, woo! Bitches! Hi, Bob.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It feels good to be back.
I know. It's kind of weird, right? It's been a while.
It's episode 70. Left off at episode 69.
Did we really? I don't even know. I don't even know that.
It was like 3 months ago.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Well, here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. It's been a minute.
I think the last episode, Simple Life, you know, yeah. You thought we were busy. And we were talking about see-through uniforms, my bird feeder, my garden. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were busy boys back then.
Things were very, very, very different then. And then the shit hit the fan and our life turned upside down.
It paused.
I don't even know if I would say it. I don't really know what happened. But it was crazy. So we will give you guys a full recap of what's been going on. But yeah. In a nutshell, we ended up getting a foster child.
That's right.
And so Jose and I have been in the process of doing that for some time now. And we had never had full-term placement of having a child in our home,
and
we got one. So we kind of had to put everything on hold with regards to our podcast.
And life in general.
We'll definitely talk more about that. But while we were gone, a lot of stuff happened in addition to having a foster kid. Easter happened. I finished my girl, her world tour, her Easter world tour.
Oh, that's right. That seems so like last year.
Yeah, I was in the middle of my world tour. Her coming out of the tomb tour, girl. But that was wonderful. We experienced a solar eclipse. You got a year older.
That's right. My birthday.
Our relationship got a year older. We celebrated our 22nd anniversary of being together.
Yes, that's correct. May. As I'm doing the math. Yes, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just smile and nod, dude. Just smile and nod.
Fiesta happened. Yes. And then I don't remember what we did for Memorial Day weekend, but obviously he was still here at the time.
Yeah,
and
that happened.
Whatever happened.
We did go see Bianca Del Rio at one point in there.
Yes.
And that was amazing and wonderful and hilarious and fun. We went to Austin and hung out with our friends in Austin, did a full hangout over there with all of them and all of their kids. And again, we'll talk more about that because that's part of the whole foster process.
Yes. And but we went out of town alone. We went to,
that's right. We went to Allie's wedding. Of course. We went to Allie's wedding, Allie and Eric's wedding. That was amazing. So Allie and that whole family is like our second family. They really are. And we just had a wonderful time. Lots of fun.
Members. What else? There's so many things.
There were so many things. Friends, birthdays, and all kinds of stuff that has happened since the last time we talked to you all. But we are back now.
That's right.
So glad to be back.
Back to Studio B.
Back to Studio B plus. It's kind of crazy. I guess we can kind of take it back to the beginning and talk about how this whole process started. We've had a lot of friends that have reached out asking us about, you know, how we're doing and all of that thing. And I wanted to say something about that because today, she's already
going from 0 to 1,000. She is loaded.
Today I was, and no shade, seriously, no tea, no shade. But I was just thinking today about the friends that we have, that we've met over the years, that we've been super close to,
sure,
that have sort of fallen by the wayside. And I'm not blaming anybody or anything because you know, friendships go both ways. But I think about the people that we were once really close to, mm-hmm. who we aren't really close to anymore. And it was making me think about how our circle of friends has gotten smaller and smaller as we've gotten older.
Right.
But how much stronger that circle becomes.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
what do you think about that?
I mean, priorities change.
Yeah.
I think it's important. Absolutely. Like when things happen or circumstances develop or as you age, your priorities become different. Views change. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just part of life. And there's good things. There's good growth that happens with that. And sometimes you got to find the balance of what is worth it and what is something that you can just leave it in the shelf. We could come back to that.
Yeah.
Or we can revisit that. Or like, I think it's important to kind of do some spring cleaning every now and then, right?
And build on that healthy relationships and build on good core.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what makes your soul stronger. It's like figuring out who, in this sense, we're talking about people, but it's just the same concept of what is good, what is new, and how I'm going to use whatever I have in my toolbox to move forward in the world.
Sure.
That's what I think.
I love that. You know, and it made me think a lot about our friends who have kids, who often say when we got kids, like, people stopped inviting us out. People stopped reaching out to us. People stopped doing this and that and the other. And I think we absolutely felt that
in the last
couple of months. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was intentional or unintentional, if people were trying, if they felt like, I don't want to infringe on their time with their kid, so we're not going to call them. Or if it was they've got a kid now, so they're probably not going to come out, or, you know? And so, because I think about what we think about our friends with kids, it really gave me a whole different perspective on those people. So if you're out there listening and you're one of those people, know that we get you, we understand you. And sometimes it just takes you being in the thicket and like finding what that feels like and experiencing it before you get to understand where that comes from.
Right. Yeah.
So Jose and I have been in the process of fostering for a while. We finally got this child.
We
finally got the call. Yes. Yes. So if you're not familiar with the foster process, you go through a bunch of trainings, yada, yada. You get verified to be a foster home, blah, 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 blah. That in itself takes a while. And then once you're verified, then the foster placement agency you work with will send you different kids, like little bios, and they say, does this kid feel like they would be a good fit for you or whatever?
Various profiles depending on the severity also. Like, you have basic needs and you have
intermediate,
somewhere in the middle. And high.
Exactly. Yep. And so some families are ready to take on those like higher needs kids and others are not. And it's never a process where they say, here's a kid, you have to take him.
In the beginning, we thought it was that, and you felt, here's a kid. I was like, let's really think about this.
Yeah. And I give a lot of credit to our very first
agency.
Agency and the specialist that worked with us who said, you don't have to say yes, mm-hmm. right? They're like, we have plenty of foster families. We'll find a place for them. So that was a big relief. Because when you hear their stories, you're like, I want to help them all. I want to take all of them in, right?
It's true.
Anyway, after all this time, we finally got the call for this little boy. He's 11 years old. And they said he needed a home. And we said, you know, this seems like a good time. Let's do it.
Summer's approaching. It's almost the end of the school year. Yeah. So why not? Like, why not? There shouldn't be anything that would hinder us from saying yes.
Right. So that happened like on a maybe Thursday or Friday. And then they said, can you do a meet and greet with him on Monday?
Right.
Monday, we met up with him. And at the end of that conversation, we let him know that we would love to have him in our home. And it was no pressure. If he wanted to come with us, he could. If he didn't want to, he didn't have to. And we were just there to provide a safe space for him.
Right.
And his caseworker called us or texted us right after that and said, he said he would love to come and live with y'all.
So it was a yes. It was a match.
It was a match. So that was on Monday. On Wednesday, he moved in.
He moved in May 3rd.
April 3rd.
You're right.
How was that whole beginning of that process for you?
Oh, my God.
I don't think we and I have not debriefed like about
this. We haven't had time to just really talk about or like
debrief and kind of talk about the whole thing.
I think the beginning was absolutely that honeymoon, like excitement, getting to know someone, and a moment to like pull everything out and like, I don't know, it's just like little things of like experiences that you want to share or want to create, you know, some experiences.
Right. Especially because we were told that he had not had a lot of experiences.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So we wanted to make sure we like gave him all the experiences we possibly could.
Well, just really talk about like all the opportunities that are out there that we can do as a foster family together.
And we really wanted to share those experiences with somebody. Right. You know, there are things that we do all the time and it's just like the norm for us. Like Fiesta.
Right.
We knew that was going to be coming up and we wanted to be like, oh, we're going to introduce you to these new things that are going to be different and fun and exciting. And he was fantastic.
Yeah.
He went with the flow. He was so great and everything was great.
And even getting to the kitchen is like, what do you want to eat? And he's willing to try everything. Like what kid says, yeah, I'm willing to try your broccoli or
octopus.
Like all these really cool experiences included food experiences too. And we both like to cook and like.
Yeah, it was very cool, and he was just such a cool kid and was so open to a lot of things. So you're right, the first couple of weeks were very much the honeymoon phase, and having worked in the foster care agency, I've heard a lot of things about that honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
And so we had him, everything was great, and then...
What? I don't know what the problem is.
And then all of a sudden, he got very comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think we also got comfortable, and that's when he started really showing us his true colors.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, by no means, were bad.
They're not bad.
I mean...
It's just going from being, you know, as a couple... being together to now having a kid in the house and now we're all having to work together on really being real.
Yeah.
This is what I really do like rather than that honeymoon, like, oh, what could be.
We'll just do whatever we want, whatever you want. Right.
Now I'm going to say, no, I don't really like that. Like I've been cooking eggs every single day into the second week that he's like, can I be honest? I don't like eggs. Like you don't like my eggs or you just don't like eggs? And he's like, I'm just.
And every day he ate them.
Yeah.
He ate them. And he finally was just like, I don't like
eggs. I don't like them. I was all, you little. No, I'm joking.
So just the reality kind of set in and he got comfortable telling us what he really didn't like. And that was great. It was totally fine. But it made it more difficult for us because I think our relationship was definitely challenged and like strained in that both of us were devoting so much time to ensuring he was happy and was taken care of that I think we kind of lost ourselves and our relationship with ourselves in the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so therein lies my first complaint. And that is that I don't feel like the foster care agency in general, not just the one we worked with, really takes that into consideration and provides resources for that kind of thing, right? Because even the agency I used to work for, we didn't have any sort of support system for our foster parents. You know, it's like, great, here's your kiddo. You get to have him and good luck, like figure it out. And there was never a time that anybody from our agency reached out and said, how are y'all doing? Is there anything you need from us?
Or even a support group.
A regular support group and say, you can come here, talk with some other foster parents. We've got another room. Right. They're going to take care of all the kids while you're here for an hour and a half. Like that's so crucial because we didn't have that.
Right. Yeah.
And we're lucky that we had some great friends who stepped in, some family members, props to my sister who stepped in and who has been a true godsend during all of this time because she was just like, bring him over. I'll take care of him. Y'all go do what you need to do. To have that support system was absolutely crucial, right?
And for the people that we have, dear friends who have pools, who said, bring him over. Like we were in the pool almost every week. But just to open up their home just because
they knew
that it was just something that he could keep, release all of that.
Kept him busy energy, and just busy. Allowed him to have a good time. And so thank you to those friends also. Like that was That was amazing to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then finally the school year ends. So then once summer kicked in, we found other experiences. But again, this is said very well by the judge. Not every kid's normalcy is the same normalcy as everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And so where you can raise your kid and be like, we go to summer camp every summer. That's what you do. And kids grow up doing that. And they're used to that. He had never done that before.
Right.
So when we offered the experiences to him to like do this camp or that camp, he was very much like, no, I don't want to do that. But that's because he'd never done that before. And that was not normal for him.
Right.
And so it was. It took some time to get him used to that. But he did it. And he was great. He was
Once he ended up like showing up and he was there, then he came home like, I made a friend. It's like, yeah, of course you did.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a
very
great guy. He's very, very personable, funny,
yeah,
artistic.
So finally, this past week, we got a call that, you know, we weren't sure what was going to be happening next, but this could be him being replaced back into his home again with his parents. So on Friday, we found out that morning that was going to happen. Then we got a phone call and they said, we'll be there in an hour. Go pick him up from his camp, bring him home, pack him up, and we'll be there to pick him up to
just
drop him off.
Like
his parents.
That.
Just like that. And so once again, no sort of support, no support, no sort of, how are y'all doing? In fact, our agency reached out to me today and was like, so how'd everything go on Friday? They still didn't even know that he was no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to respond back and say, oh, we're doing just fine. Thanks for asking. Because nobody has asked us. And I think that's been the hardest part of this whole process is nobody has reached out to say, how are y'all? Like, how are you doing? Right? Because our life was literally just flipped upside down.
Right.
Within a matter of a couple of days.
Our choice, again, but...
Yes, our choice, absolutely. But still should have some kind of support to help you out.
Yeah, yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So overall, the experience, 1 to 10, what would you give it?
Oh my God, don't put that. No. What are you doing?
And I mean, all of it together. What would you give it? 1 to 10.
Oh my God. Well, there's a lot of elements to this because I think I realize how important a great partner is in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be skewed a lot if you didn't have a partner that wasn't as supportive or was just a great parenting partner.
Yeah.
And I give you an absolute out of 10, like 15.
Aww,
you were so consistent. You were respectful. You set limits. You were loving. We were listening to each other. We were empathizing when we can, but the greater priority was ultimately the kid.
Him.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but working with the agencies is a little different. So I think with that alone.
Yeah.
Oof, it's a low number. Maybe a 2, maybe a high 3. That's
yeah,
it.
I have to agree with you, both with the agency and with
working
CPS.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Neither one of them, I felt like it was a real shit show. I didn't feel like anybody really had it all together. And that's very unfortunate because the only people that suffer from that are the kids.
Right.
You know? And so that was, it was really tough. But you're right. I think the experience of having him in our home was great.
Yeah.
I totally enjoyed it. It was very cool. Would you do it again? Would you do it again?
Really? You're going to put me in a spot right now.
I'm
going to
put you on the spot. Would you do it again?
I don't know. That's a hard question. Yeah. Right now, I'm feeling the answer is no.
Okay.
Right now, the answer is
and that's
no.
fine. That's totally fine. That's totally fine.
I don't know. I don't know. I'll stick with that.
Yeah.
How about you? Yeah.
I think right now, the answer is no. I don't know if down the line we're like, okay, maybe. At the risk of sounding selfish, it was really hard to give up our lifestyle because I feel like you and I and one of our dear, dear friends, Priscilla, is the one who put this into perspective for me.
Oh.
But she said, you know, you and Jose, you share your love with one another and your relationship and your time with one another doing things together. Going to dinner, going out with friends, going out to have drinks, you know, like those kinds of like social things. That's what y'all do to maintain your relationship. It's part of your well-being with each other.
Mm.
And she said, you know, at the end of a busy day, you two can get together and go out, and that's how you decompress, and that's how you relieve your stress from the day.
And we've been doing this for over 20 years.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And she said, and so now you're coming home, and rather than being able to do that, you're focusing all of your energy on this child who needs you, and you know he needs you, and that's why you're sacrificing those things to do things for him.
Right.
And because of that, you and Jose are not able to fuel the goodness of your relationship with each other because you're using all your energy to fuel your relationship with him.
Makes perfect sense.
So that was really hard for me, and I don't know that I would do it again without a plan in place as to how to make that happen.
Which is difficult. You know?
Which is very difficult. Very difficult.
Like to...
Not impossible, but definitely difficult.
Like self-care was removed. Making time for each other was removed.
Yeah.
Making a beautiful journey is not easy in this setting.
And the thing with the kid is that he was already older. He was 11 years old.
Which is
fine.
Perfect.
You know, because he was just independent enough, right? He was already doing little chores and stuff, and he was able to like kind of take care of himself, which is great.
I'm going to miss that.
Yeah. But at the same time, you also now have to take into consideration his opinions, his thoughts, his feelings, his choices. Because it's not like a little baby that you just take them along with you and they can't say anything back. They just go along for the ride.
It's harder to shape someone at that age.
Right. And who also has a very good relationship with his parents.
Yeah.
So he was telling himself, I'm just here for a short amount of time. I'm going to be back with my mom and dad.
Yeah, you can tell that was his mindset, which was completely fine. I think we established, okay, this is...
Right.
This is how we can support you, knowing that this is what you want to.
Right. Which is kind of crazy. I didn't feel like that's what I didn't think that's what it was going to be like when we started this process.
Yeah.
Right.
That was lacking. But, like that information was a bit it was a little different. It was skewed again. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But it's okay. Like,
ultimately,
like our time together was a service to the kid and how we can ensure that he is successful.
He learned a different perspective on life in general, living with us. Well, I hope and pray that one day he will look back and say, I'm grateful that I got to be a part of this, because I know I'm super grateful that he was a part of our lives.
Yeah.
And I hope that we get to maintain some kind of a relationship with him in the future, because he was great and he gave us such a different perspective on life in general.
Right. So, it definitely changed my life. It was a life-changing experience.
Totally.
And I'm sure that he grew so much from what he experienced here.
Yeah,
and exposing him to some outings out. He was like, I've never been here before. And we share about how we've, go to these certain places.
Those experiences that he may have never gotten to experience.
Right.
Had he never lived with us. So,
yeah. Cool.
So that's where we've been, friends. That's where we are.
That's the update.
And so now we're back.
Wow.
But I heard a great sermon at Mass this past Sunday that said every end is a new beginning. And so every time something ends, it's just because something else is about to start. And so it was perfect timing, because he left our house on Friday and I heard this on Sunday right after I was trying to like process all of this, and I was super emotional all weekend. And the sermon was all about that, just how new seeds are planted, and whenever a seed or a plant dies, that's when the seeds come out. Mm. So it has to die first for another seed to come out and grow something new. So girl, she's ready for whatever is the new seed, girl. She is ready.
It says, families hope that their involvement with the child will plant a seed that takes root and will grow with the child, producing amazing results in years to come.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's exactly right. All we can do is hope and pray that a seed was planted for good And, you know, and we'll see what happens. It's going to take time.
Well, amen, girl. Amen.
Cheers to that. Cheers, honeybee. Shifting gears completely.
Okay. Are we going back to the show?
Oh, girl, we're going back to the show. It's a new season of RuPaul.
Yes. Drag Race.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's okay. RuPaul's All-Stars, right? Drag Race All-Stars. We have 8 fierce queens.
Yeah.
Angeria Paris, Van Michaels, Got Mick, Georges, Nina West, Plastique Tierra, Roxy Andrews, Chanel, and Miss Vanjie.
Miss Vanjie.
Miss Vanjie. Who is your favorite right now?
My favorite is Angeria.
Okay.
She's a fierce competitor.
Yeah.
She's got it all.
She does.
But the problem is she's just getting cut all the time, like because of the competition.
Yeah.
And the ones in her lead right now with the what badges?
The beautiful benefactress badge.
Currently, like we're behind. We're still catching up. Probably in episode 5, and episode 7 is gonna show this Friday.
So we're like an episode behind.
Yeah, okay. Ish. And ones in the lead is Plastique. Yeah. Uh-huh. I got it right. And Roxy Andrews.
Okay.
Did not think that those two will be on the top at this moment.
Yeah. Well, I think Plastique
with 3 of them, they got 3 each.
Plastique is totally fierce. I could see her winning. Roxy, I didn't realize that Roxy was as fierce as she is. We didn't see the season that she was on.
Right.
So I've never really seen her. I've just seen clips of her, and all the clips of her are super dramatic. So I thought she was going to be that way. But she seems pretty fierce and Angeria, definitely a front runner. However, comma space, they all keep cutting her.
Right.
So she can't win her beautiful benefactress badge because they keep cutting her.
Oh my God. I forgot I have a soundboard now. Oh my God.
All right.
Okay. Well, go back to you.
Yeah. So anyway, RuPaul, keep watching. There's a few more weeks left. Good stuff. Wonderful. Fantastic. Wonderful.
Just wonderful.
I was reading today as I was kind of processing all of this whole foster thing.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out how do we kind of move into a space in our lives to kind of just let go and just live our best lives. And I found something online.
What is it?
It's 5 ways to let go and go with the flow.
How do we say and let God?
Let go and let God. Live, laugh, love, and don't forget to dance. So the first one is to embrace your natural state. So wherever it is you are, you have to learn how to just like relish in that time, relish in that space.
Relish this robe that I'm wearing right now.
Oh,
this
gosh. Girl.
Don't choke on me, girl. Don't choke on me. I'm right here.
See what you did? The second is to let go of self-judgment.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay.
In any capacity. That doesn't mean just like your physical, but like how do you feel you are in relation to others? Who cares? Like, girl, you be you and you do your thing. The third one is to live in the present. That is a hard one for some people. I know plenty of people who live in the past.
Oh my God.
Who live through their memories. Like, memories are great, but live in the present.
It does
live
not shape your life for the future.
No. That's right.
Be a learning lesson and let's move
That's
on.
That's right. Move on. That's right. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Number 4 is trust the unfolding of life's natural order. Trust the unfolding of life's natural order.
I like that.
Yeah. Know that life is going to like lay out the road in front of you. You just got to like walk it. Just
walk the yellow brick road, girl.
Walk the yellow brick road. Go see that Wizard of Oz. And then the last one is to cultivate inner stillness. So this morning, I woke up early. I felt good. I had my stuff ready.
Uh-oh.
I got to the gym nice and early, ready to just have a great workout. I was like, I left my phone at home. I was so pissed. I was so mad. Because, you know, you have your like routine, and I usually like plug my earphones in and I put my music on. And between sets, I play my little game of Words with Friends, and it gets my like brain going and everything starts like, and I didn't have it. And I was like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do it without my phone.
Good
like,
for you.
It was so hard. I was more distracted when I didn't have my phone with me, because I was like watching people and the music that they were playing at the gym was really bad. And
you didn't watch any novellas while you were there? Meaning like people who were at the gym, like the kissing couple.
No,
no one was there.
Nothing exciting happening.
No one like busted their toe, aka Jose Martinez.
Nothing exciting happening at the gym. Nothing. I tried to practice my inner stillness. Didn't happen.
Okay.
So I think it's something that needs to be planned. You got to like be like, okay, today I'm going to set aside time to do whatever that is.
Yeah.
So this is my challenge to all of our listeners out there, to all our poppers. I want you to take 5 minutes every day and just practice stillness.
5 minutes?
Just five minutes. Sit in stillness or quiet or... like just put your phone in the room and go to another room and just sit there for 5 minutes every day between now when you're listening to this and next week. And then I want to know like how that was for you. Like, was it hard for you? Was it easy for you? I would like to see how people feel. Put it in your notes. You've got to do it.
5 minutes of stillness.
5 minutes of stillness. And that's not napping. This is conscious awake stillness.
Well, I meditate on my way to work. I'm in silence.
You drive to work in silence?
Yep. Sometimes I do.
You do the not. I don't believe you.
Oh my God. I do. I mentioned this before, so people know that I have done this before. Oh, absolutely. Oh, I don't have the radio on.
I'm very rarely in silence. As soon as I get in my car, it's on the music.
No. It's so good. It's so good.
I used to do that. I haven't done it in a
very
long time.
You should try. You know, let's flip this on you. That's what you need to do.
I will. I'm going to do it. Try I'm going to do it, and I want to see how
it's
how...
amazing.
Okay. All right. We'll try it. I invite all our poppers to do it as well.
Yay.
Well, our time is up.
What?
I know. So is there anything that you must get out of your system right now before we...
No, I think this is a good way to come back. It's a good way to
coming out of the dark
to just be connected with our poppers again and just hear our voice again. Like,
we miss you guys. We really do. This getting together and putting this out there for everybody is fun. And I don't think we realized how rewarding it was until we weren't able to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're back.
Me too.
Yay!
Wow.
Well, thank you all for listening once again. As always, our hotline is still open. 210-816-3747. If you have any questions about the stuff that we talked about today, or you have any comments or anything, feel free to text them to us. You can leave us a voicemail, whatever you'd like, and just be a part of the show with us. Also, if you aren't already, which I think you are, because you probably wouldn't know about this podcast otherwise, follow us on Instagram at
Our Popscast.
And be sure to click follow and rate us and leave a comment wherever you listen and just let us know what you think. And we would love to hear about how your 5 minutes of stillness has worked for you next week.
That's right.
And tell us what you're doing to be a good human. Right?
That's right.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Well, until next time.
Bye!